Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to get into creating effective objectives. But there's also those little obligatories that you know who has to do something. And so, therefore, as you know, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And we also want you to know that this show is still based on academic evidence, providing you with precisely how government should be behaving in accordance with the Constitution. Therefore, we also give you the academic-based solutions in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. When I say that, people go, those are just words. No, absolutely not. This is why just recently we have gone through the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions to prove what Madison and Jefferson actually laid out in doing in holding government accountable. Now, they failed. But I do not believe we will fail, because I do believe that in comparison to the Alien and Sedition Acts, compared to what is going on today with the debt, the biological warfare we're facing, and the usurpation of powers, the loss of liberties, I believe America is going through the awakening. I believe that many people are starting to realize, even Democrats, and this is why they had to cheat so significantly to get Biden elected so that they could seal the deal. So anyway, the other thing I want to let you know is if you've got a question, if there's something you missed or you want to make a comment, call our comment or question line 425-270-5416. We would also ask that you help us expand the reach of this show by reaching out. Use social media and post Reclaiming the Republic on. If you go to redstatetalkradio.com and you click on the hosts and then you click on G.R. Mobley, reclaimingtherepublic.org, that'll give you that page that you can actually send that link and say, you need to listen to this show. I don't care for the host, but what the host is saying, because I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to make you feel good. I am here to truly talk about the problem and actually talk about the elephant in the room as well as the solution. And when I say the elephant in the room, of course, we're referring to the party. But anywho, please, by all means, help us. And we appreciate the fact that you're even listening. And actually, we've got a lot of people that are a part of this show, that listen to this show, that are involved, which means to tell me that there are even more people listening to the show, not just by the rankings and so forth, but by the membership in the NLA is starting to tick up, and I think people are starting to realize you've got to get involved. Do not let the Trump effect delay you any further. Trump will not save our Constitution. Trump is only buying us time. He doesn't have me as the advisor. He doesn't have, really good constitutional people around him to actually point out how deep the deep state goes. Because anything within government that is not within the framework of the Constitution has to be a part of the deep state, because it is all about violating the Constitution, violating our liberties. Anyway, as you know, you as a U.S. citizen, whether you are naturalized or whether you have been born in America, you are either one way or the other obligated as a citizen to support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, which means you have a responsibility and you have actually a role to play in using your Constitution and petitions. This is why we're doing petitions. This is why we're getting involved in common law grand juries. This is why we're trying to teach you about what you need to do as a part of the militia. You have a responsibility at the state level and county level to be engaged in the militia. What we're doing is we're responding to a civil war that has been going on since Adam and Eve, because that civil war has truly been the conflict between individual liberty and individual sovereignty and slavery. Slavery to a personal master or slavery to the state. It doesn't matter. They are out to compel you and force you to do what they want you to do because they believe they know best. And they do not trust your judgment. This is why we need to place this enemy into context. I place the enemy as Satan. You can call him the global governance, the global progressives. It really doesn't matter who you want to label as the enemy. However, when we're engaging the enemy, we must do it on the terms that the Constitution or the good Lord gave us in the Constitution. Do not believe that going into federal court systems, that is the process. Actually, what we're doing every time you go into a federal court over an issue that is not an enumerated power within the Constitution, you have surrendered your sovereignty over that issue. This is why Republic Review is the only process that will get the federal government and force it into compliance. Anyway, as we all work together in uniting on the Constitution and working to turn the states into the color of parchment instead of red and blue, I want to get into helping you create effective goals. As I've said before, if I can help you become successful, that means that as a patriot in the efforts and endeavors that you are working, you too can be successful. Now, here's the question. Are you a part of that small percentage of America that really knows where you're going and what you want to do in life? If so, then you should already understand what your ultimate goal is for success, whether that be president or vice president of a company, owning your own company, getting into a level of leadership, but not the responsibility. You know, I know people that don't even want to be cashiers. They don't mind working in retail, but they don't want to be a cashier because they don't want to, you know, lose their job or be accountable for missing a penny in their cash drawer. So what is it you want to do? It really helps to understand what you do and what are you doing something that you enjoy. Just because you happen to be, you know, you made some decisions in school where you had all the maturity and all the, you know, the foresight necessary to make all the right decisions. And I say that because I knew a doctor. I've known a few doctors, actually, not just a doctor. I've known a few doctors who are not happy. They're miserable. Why? Because the bureaucracy and everything else, I mean, and bottom line, they didn't get into becoming a doctor because they wanted to be a servant of mankind. They got into it for the money. And so when they start looking at what they have to go through, these doctors are the ones who retire early because they can't stand patients. They love the money, but that's the only reason they're in it. They're miserable. So what is your ultimate goal? And as a matter of fact, you can have more than one ultimate goal. You can have a professional ultimate goal, and you can have a personal ultimate goal. You know, and personal, that has something to do with, you know, your family, your marriage, your relationship with your children, and so forth. But the bottom line is, where do you want to end up? Once you understand where you're going, then you can start mapping a course to how to get there. Sometimes it is important, you know, it's helpful to reverse engineer. Well, how did you get to the top of the mountain? Well, I went this way. But as you start looking at the mountain, because most people are just kind of fighting in the stream to get upriver to get to the top of the mountain. However, if you really look at the landscape of the mountain, there's probably easier ways to get there. And that's why sometimes looking at the top of the mountain, how is the best way to get down off of that mountain, is a great way of actually charting a course. And so as you start looking at where you are and where you want to go, you have to start mapping a course. And that is a part of setting goals or objectives. So what do you believe you'll need to do to achieve your ultimate goal? And what I'm really going to be focusing on is really not on the personal side, but more on the professional side. And actually, one of the real reasons why I'm doing this is because so few people even understand. They don't teach this. And I want to point out some historical evidence for you. If you look at the beginning of American growth and power, as well as the Japanese growth and power in the industries, and how Japan became great car makers, is because we started getting involved in the process of improvement, improving your behavior, improving things. And this goes back to Deming, this goes back to Peter Drucker, and these people who had the mind of actually looking at how people are setting goals and how to do it better. There was an organization called Success Motivation Institute back in the late 60s, early 70s, and I will get into some of this stuff when we come right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
If you have ever read The Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith, Adam Smith actually talks about improving productivity and innovating your work behavior, processes, and so forth. So the history of process improvement goes back a long, long way. That was 1776. But in the 50s, after World War II, as America really geared up as a nation in its processes and using women as the labor force to basically support the war machine, they started getting into processes because now they had to work their employees and the labor force, you know, weren't big burly men that were going to force things and so forth. So they actually had to start addressing in process improvements so that the labor force could actually do the work and actually improve in productivity. This is why we see when the men came back, things were different. And that was because there were improvements. Now, as things moved forward, we started exporting American ingenuity and innovation to Germany and as a matter of fact, Germany was already innovative. I mean, when one looks at the development of weapons and so forth, I mean, Germany was an innovation leader. And so when we started exporting, though, to Japan and other nations, the Soviet Union, they never got there because their labor force was a compelled labor force, unlike the free world labor force. But anyway, they started teaching management and leaders how to set goals, how to work with employees in improving productivity and getting them to set objectives. This is why most every major corporation today goes through the process, but it is so lost in most in the world corporations or in the corporations of the world, however you want to look at this. These concepts are lost because they do not hold the employee's hand at the very beginning and teach them the importance, the personal importance for them to become successful as an employee and as a member of society, as well as an individual. They have to start setting goals and they have to teach them the process of how to be successful once they've set those goals. You know, it's one thing to put your goal on a piece of paper, but then what? What do? You've done nothing other than, you know, dedicated a piece of paper and some ink or pencil, some type of graphite utensil to lay out your goal. Unless you really lay out a plan and a strategy, and then that still isn't enough. You have to do a lot more. You know, as they say, knowledge is power, intelligence and knowledge, same, right? It's not power until it is acted upon. And so, let me get back to the question. What do you believe you need to do or achieve your ultimate goal or goals? What do you need to accomplish to achieve this goal, right? Well, some people look at education. Do you need a technical degree? Do you need a master's degree, a PhD, to become that doctor? Absolutely. Do you need a JD to become a lawyer? Absolutely. However, I will tell you that law and law today is based on admiralty and unconstitutional paradigms. So if you go into law, you have some challenges if you want to truly be the best lawyer in all law and not admiralty law is probably really critical to understand that, to break away from this concept that you have to do things in their processes and their ways within admiralty courts and so forth. Anyway, and if you don't understand admiralty courts, then that's another lesson. But bottom line, there is a level in most professions, there is a level of education. Could be technical, could be formal, could be very academic. It all depends on really where you are going. And when I say really academic, I mean like philosophy and getting into, you know, all these different ways of thoughts and so forth. But bottom line, you have to start looking at what the requirements are, and education cannot be ignored. What do you need to accomplish to get there? You just can't walk in and run for president. Well, actually, Trump did, but he did in a way that it made it easier for him to do that. If you don't have the money and if you don't have the, I'll just say the audience, because he had the public's eye. He's a populist president. He had a TV show. Everybody knew him. I mean, he did a lot of things that made it easy for him to walk in running for presidency without ever having to be a politician. So you don't have to necessarily be a politician, but you have to be pretty doggone successful to do that transition, to walk from your world into politics like he did. So what is it you really need to achieve? Most of the time, it is positions. And if you look at the map and the top of a mountain, if you look at points, you know, camp points or sites and so forth along the way, those are positions. Look at those as a technical position, a functional position in managing people, an engineering position, or same thing as a technical position, a program type of management position. There are different types of leadership. There are people leadership. There are the program leadership. There's architectural leadership. There's proposal, conceptual leadership. There are all different avenues in almost every profession out there that allows you a path to the top. And some paths make it a little easier than others. And 9 times out of 10, now this, I shouldn't even say that. One common path is functional leadership. Managing people, because bottom line, if you get really good at leading and managing people, then you will be highlighted as, wow, look what this guy's doing, or gal. And as the opportunities present themselves, it is just common that they want to put more people underneath you so that you can, you know, manage and have greater success and greater productivity and so forth. These are positions that you would need to accomplish. So you start looking at what you actually have to do to actually obtain these types of positions. And so as you really look at the course of where you want to go, you start realizing that there's these big stops and there's all sorts of steps in getting into each of these different positions. In some ways, you actually have to get further education, whether that be formal or whether that be self-education with books or what have you. You do need to start understanding the details of this new position. And if you actually apply education and academic type of material in one form or another, as you obtain these positions, you will strengthen your position to be able to go to the next position up that mountain. So what are the steps or short-term goals that you need to set to reach your midterm goals? When I say midterm, these are these steps. Here's your first midterm step to become the first leader on a little project, or becoming a basic function leader, a functional leader for a small group of people, a section head or what have you. There's these little steps. And again, I do not want to marginalize education, but technical training for improving core competencies. Now, as you understand, in job descriptions, if you are doing something very specific in engineering or what have you, there are core competencies that you need to master and obtain to get promoted or to even get that position. You have to be able to do very specific things. Some of these things maybe, or some of these other things in the core competencies are actual technical certifications, because what happens in a technical certification? You are tested with core competencies. Same thing with education itself. If you get that bachelor's degree, management and, the hiring manager or whomever, you get this degree, they look at you and they say, well, we believe that that degree has given you the core competencies necessary to be a successful leader or to at least fulfill the position that you're applying for. In management, so you got education, then in management, you have to learn and become more involved with processes. As a matter of fact, every store I walk into, every company I engage, guess what? They're all delved, or I should say, they're all steeped in processes. Whether you go to Home Depot and you want to do a custom order or anything, everything is a process. And if you look at that and you start understanding that as you go to work, there's a process. There's a process of getting started. How can you improve in those processes? So you have to actually become more involved in every process that you engage in. And you, once you start improving how much time it takes to do something, then you have found an advantage, and people start noticing, hey, how's this guy getting this stuff done faster than us? How's he getting through his email faster than us? Anyway, we've got a hard break, so we will get back to this when these two promos are over. But I'm hoping you're gaining something. I know we're talking kind of top level, but we're digging into the trenches at this point. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so let's put our place, let's place context to where we are. Now that we understand where you really want to go, and now that we kind of have started setting the course of how to get down that mountain, because nine times out of 10, it makes it a little easier getting down than getting back up, because now you have a top view down. But most people don't look at, you know, their end objective. They just kind of fight upstream, and then they actually find themselves actually out of their way or what have you. It's easier to find, once you understand where you want to be, then mapping the course by using an overview of what it takes to get there. And that's what this whole strategy is, because that this plan that you're creating is a quote-unquote strategy. So you have to start then setting short-term goals to get to the first position, to the next position, and so forth. And there's no reason why you can't be working in parallel. It's not a serial process. You don't have to wait to get to a very specific position before you get management training, management education. Did you know most doctors have MBAs, management business administration degrees? Why? Because they know they have to open their own business. They want to have their own practice. And they're not going to learn how to do that in doctor school. And so you have to start looking at what you're going to need over the course so that you can start working in parallel to be prepared when you land at the next one. You're already positioned to go to the next one or maybe even jump two squares. And the concept of jumping two squares is going beyond the serial process of saying you have to take this position, then this position, then this position, which are one square moves each time on the board. However, most people, you know, are stuck in that rut. However, you can actually do two or three square jumps if you've already obtained the understanding, education, technical prowess, and the, you know, core competencies and those types of things to be able to jump from, you know, an entry position into management, you know, a several square move in a career. Boom. And now you're much closer to that top of the mountain. So you need to start looking at what you need. And so education, as we just went through, and then management, learning to become involved in processes. That's where we just left off. Seeking more responsibilities and becoming a project lead. You have to actually put yourself out there if you want to get up to the top of that mountain. And then you want to actually to start taking management and leadership type training. Core competency skills, diving into this just a little, where do you fall in your current grade or skill, and are you pushing forward to the next level? Whether that be technical, management, sales, administration, it doesn't matter. Where are you now, and what are the core competencies for you to have mastered? That's the best way to put it. The core competencies that you need to master to be able to get that next position. There's another factor here, and these factors are attributes that you should assess annually. So when you look at what you've done for the year, you need to look at your productivity. How productive are you? Are you efficient? How is your efficacy in getting things done? How are your skills, the core competencies? How is your versatility, willingness, or flexibility? When I say versatility, I don't mean a breadth of skills. I mean your willingness to do something outside your skill level. Communications. How are your communications? Communications is key in anything. The better you can communicate, the better you can lead, the better you can get things done, the better you understand what the job is, the task, and so forth. So obtaining good communication skills. How are your communication skills? These are attributes. Cooperation and teamwork. That's another attribute. Do you work well with others? Are you good at building teams? If not, then you need to develop that attribute. Same thing with process improvement. And so as you start looking at your education, the positions, these basic attributes that you have, your core competency skills and everything else. Okay, now that we've kind of laid out what these things mean and how important they are throughout this strategy, now what you need to do is you need to look at your organization, the culture that you are working in. You have to understand that they themselves have goals. That a corporation, you know, a fundamental goal is to stay in business, but actually they have profit goals. They want to be able to make a certain amount of money, take up more market space. They have these objectives that they want to obtain on a yearly basis to be able to continue their growth rate, to continue their profits, and those types of things. So if you understand what your organizational objectives or their mission and goals are, then what you should do, and if you don't understand them, you need to learn them, because what you really need to be doing is you need to get those goals aligned with what you are doing. Because it doesn't matter how well you do one thing. And I'll give you a great example. One of the things I was doing is basically systems engineering, which is kind of like hardware and making systems work and so forth. And the company I worked with was doing, you know, all systems from an ISP, ASP, if you understand AI till stuff. But Anyway, they were forced to make a decision to go either ASP or ISP. They weren't allowed to do systems integration at the business unit I was working in. And so they had to make a decision, and they went with ASP. Well, I happened to be in the ITIL framework on the ISP side. So the decision they just made took me out of the contentions and even out of the ability to really be on a viable path to go up that mountain. So all of a sudden, my course had completely changed. Well, that's okay. This isn't about me. This is about you. So that you need to understand the direction of the company, because you could find yourself in a functional process or somewhere in the company that actually becomes obsolete. You have to be able to have a good understanding of how your business and the company you're working for, or your business itself, and how the layout of the land, the landscape is is changing constantly, so that you can actually maintain relevance and growth and these other things. So understanding the company's objectives as they may change from basically an ITIL systems entity to ASP, and getting out of, if you're in the ISP side, then you have to understand that you either need to make a change or you need to go somewhere else. But understanding the direction will help you. And I say this, and I really mean this, because if all of a sudden you realize that you become obsolete, then you actually have to start preparing yourself to leave ship or to be able to go somewhere else. And my best advice to anybody, when all of a sudden they realize that the landscape has completely changed, that you're not going to have a job soon, the first rat off of the ship usually makes it to shore. Those that actually stick around, and they, you know, sometimes you get rewarded by sticking around. Sometimes they come to you and say, well, we know that this is going to go away, but we want to incentivize you to stay, and we will help you with a placement or what. And so that's a good position to be in. But bottom line, understanding what the overall objectives are helps you actually make management recognize that, you know, this individual employee is doing things that help us obtain our objectives. And so when you do, because a lot of people in business have to actually articulate their, you know, how successful they were in the past year. And when you tell your boss, your manager, and or, you know, the corporate leadership, how what you did that year helped the company obtain its objectives, then you have just articulated exactly what they want to hear. Does that make sense? Of course it does. And so understanding what these top-level organizational objectives are, the mid-tier objectives and so forth throughout the business as it comes down, these are what I like to refer to as trickle-down objectives, because bottom line, the corporation is going in this direction, and then they make these objectives for everybody as it goes down and translates through the company. So if you align yourself to those, then your year-end evaluation should actually articulate that of how you've actually helped them obtain the objectives that they've set. So creating the goals is really based upon your core competencies. It's based upon your attributes. It is based upon the job description. There's lots of things that are a part of this. Do you have, and when we're talking about core competencies, we have to actually bring in this concept of shortfalls. Do you, sometimes you get a position and you don't have all of the skills to doing something, but you're very good at what they really need. You have to start addressing those shortfalls. Never marginalize what you should be able to do, but you don't, and at this time you don't have the time to do it. You need to identify what your shortfalls are in your core competencies, in your attributes, and all these other things, so that you can actually work on them. Now, all of this is kind of going still in your head of laying out, mapping a course, not actually committing anything to paper at this point. And so when we come back after these two promos, then we will actually start helping you start committing these things to paper. And as you see, what we're doing here is we're kind of laying out the core competencies, and by tomorrow, we should be completely done in helping you become successful. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so now let's commit some things to paper. First thing you need to commit is your overall map. This is the strategy of really where you want to be. And so you can start bottom going up or top coming down. I would probably recommend that if you start looking at the top going down, then you will realize that there's some things you may have to readjust as you move forward in life, because variances happen. You weren't planning on having that auto accident that takes you out of physical commission for a few months or what have you. A baby, it doesn't matter. Variances happen, and so making adjustments will be necessary. And so just figure out how you want to do it, top down or bottom up. Once you've created your map, and you can actually, this can actually be, it doesn't matter how you do this. This can be in a textual format, or it can be literally a visual layout with a map. I believe it was Holmgren, I don't know if it was with the Seahawks or if it was Green Bay, I think it was with Green Bay, they basically had a map, and at the top of the mountain was the Super Bowl, and that was their year goal. And each game was a step on their way to that. And so the reason you have to commit this, first off, is you actually have to start visualizing. It has to be something you can see, because if you can't see it, you can't do it. So you want to create your overall map of that ultimate goal. Now, you also want to create some overlays, because if you're not your own boss, if this is not your own company where you want to take this, then there's a good likelihood that you need to have an overlay for your partners, of how you want to work and engage your partners, or how you want to, deal with, or how you have to deal with, actually not want, how you have to deal with your company. so that your goals align with theirs. You may only be with, it may be a part of your strategy that you're only with this company for a couple of years or 10 years. Whatever that is, you still have to create that overlay of this portion of the journey to the top of the mountain, how you need to behave and how you need to align with their goals to maintain success. So as you move forward and as you start looking at this, now you're actually putting some things to paper and now you have your map. The next thing you really need to start doing is looking at the short term. And when we focus on goals and or objectives, even though you have an ultimate goal and you want to be able to visualize the ultimate goal and that path, you have to lay out a plan or a plan of attack for the year. What do you need to do to get to that next position on that map? And what do you need to do in aligning with your company to give them the feeling that you are meeting their objectives as well? So what you have to start doing is you start actually creating some very specific goals. And this is why I've already started with this, even though we hadn't even started. I already introduced you actually to the concept of identifying what your shortfalls are. Everybody has shortfalls. Everybody has gaps in their skills or what have you. And I know most people think that they're perfect, but I'll bet you anything, if you actually go to an honest and objective person, your manager, fellow employee, or what have you, and you say, hey, what are my shortcomings? They may tell you your communication sucks or, whatever, but don't take offense. And when you ask somebody to give you criticism, don't take offense. You've asked them to tell you honestly, and you have to be thankful with the fact that they actually told you. Because most people, they expect their peer reviews, they expect their boss's review to be glowing instead of honest. That is disingenuous, and you'll never get to where you want to go if you do not have honesty. So, again, creating the goals. Now we're actually going to be starting to put things on paper. We want to address the shortfalls in core competencies. As you look at core competencies, there are lower difficulty ratings that you may be performing, and then there's higher difficulty ratings. And a great example, I'll just use as a networking skills. There's the fundamental networking, putting things onto the network, and then the more difficult rating is designing the overall network, the routing and architecture and so forth that you just don't walk in and necessarily do with no experience, even though you may even have the certifications. But bottom line, it doesn't hurt to actually start identifying what your shortfalls are and looking at the difficulty ratings of what you're doing. Is it appropriate for you at this level with this experience to be performing these types of tasks? And what do you need to do to get to that next level? Sometimes it even helps to consolidate what all of your, let's say, shortcomings are, and then actually start attacking them either collectively or identifying them in segments or sections to say, okay, here's my computer skills, here's my people skills, and so forth, so that you can actually start attacking and improving yourself. It helps you rise to the level you need to be in doing this. And it doesn't need to be a high percent of effort since it's a lower difficulty and competency. But you do want to actually start growing and obtaining the level of competencies. If you're in management or if you're working with people, having difficult conversations, like that employee that comes to you and asks you for an honest evaluation, or what do you think about them in doing something or what they did, and framing that in an honest way. So having that difficult conversation is a learned skill to do it right. You also have these objectives that will basically enhance. I call them enhancement objectives. These should be skill areas that you're already doing well on and enhancing yourself. further professional education, further formal education. These would obviously be higher difficulty levels in your core competencies as well. Now, getting into your attributes, remember what the attributes are: productivity, skills, versatility, communications, cooperation, teamwork, process improvement, and management. What are the things that you need to improve upon, and what is it you're doing good that you can actually enhance? These can reinforce your previous objectives as well. But putting them down in paper. Now, see, your boss in some organizations actually want you to put this stuff out. Some of these things you may not want to put out. You may not want to actually put this on paper for your company or your boss, but you want to be honest with yourself, because if you don't put it down, you're not going to work on it. I guarantee you, if you do not identify something you're going to work on in your plan, it won't be worked on. So this is why you have to be honest, and you have to have not only a map, but a strategy and plan for execution for every year. Now, again, like I said, these can reinforce your previous objectives as well in building upon where you left off last year. Do not forget the trickle-down objectives that your organization wants to have accomplished that you want to make yourself look good that you are actually doing. And you can and should actually reinforce your objectives with those corporate and or cultural objectives. In summary, one of the things you're doing is you're actually having at least one minimum objective that you tell your boss that you want to improve upon. You may have more, but you actually want to identify, because your boss wants to know that you're at least honest to see that you're not perfect. Your enhancement goals, maybe you'll have 2 to 5 of these, things that you're doing well on that you want to truly enhance. And many attribute objectives can be addressed as well as you map these things down and as you feel you can obtain. Now, the one thing we haven't even talked about are SMART objectives, because one of the things that you have to realize is your objectives need to fit within the SMART model. What is SMART? Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timed. That's the acronym, SMART. And so if you are doing something, if you have a goal, it should be something that you can obtain in that year. So let's say the goal is education and you need to get a 2-year degree. Well, you can only put, because you can't accomplish a 2-year degree in a 1-year time span. Because again, your goals need to be done on a yearly basis. For 9 times out of 10, they're required by the company. So you want to model it based on the time constraints that your company is doing. Because there's no point in doing double the effort and having, you know, a complete map and strategy that you're working on as well as working with the company. So if you've got a 2-year degree, what you can do is you can say, I want to ensure that I at least get this far towards this degree this year. And that is both a specific, it's measurable, it's attainable, it's realistic, and it's timed. Okay. So as you start laying these things out, you want to start tying as many objectives. You want to start tying as many objectives down to your trickle down. So how do you look? And what we'll do is when we come back, we'll talk about how do you look at what you're writing down in aligning them with the corporate requirements, program requirements, and so forth. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue.
Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.